Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Dearborn Heights, earned a law degree from Wayne State University, and a Master of Law from New York University. Since 1994, he's been the chair of Trust and Estates Practice Group with Giammarco Mullins & Horton, P.C. Formed in 1983, Giammarco Mullins & Horton, P.C. is the 12th largest law firm in Michigan with 60 attorneys offering its clients a diverse range of capabilities and specialties. His name? Julius Giammarco. Finally, he's coming as a guest. And I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisula, and we're with a man that I really admire, a great friend, Julius Giammarco, who's done an awful lot for me. And now Pam. Since 1994, he's been the chair of Trust and Estates Practice Group with Giammarco Mullins & Horton. Julius Giammarco, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Jack. And you know, you are one of my very first clients. We're going way back to 1976, yes. So you and I have been together a long time.
Wow. All right, let's go back. Your childhood, your mom and your dad. Growing up in Dearborn Heights.
Grew up in Dearborn Heights. I have two brothers that are twins, 2 years younger than me. My dad worked in a factory, Ford Motor Company, the parts depot in Livonia. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and small house, and you know, we got together at 4:30 for dinner when Dad come home from lunch, or from work, excuse me. And grew up very nice, had a very, very nice life, very loving parents. And I was very fortunate to have that.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, you know, I think just it's interesting because we didn't have much. You know, my dad was working in a factory. We didn't have much. And I think just the fact that love for one another, you know, we were always, my mom and dad were always hugging and kissing us and treating us like we were kings. And I just think that that's the kind of way I wanted to raise my kids as well, you know, except, you know, I wasn't home every day at 4:30 for dinner.
All right. You're the first in the family to go to college, and you decide to study law. Why?
Well, you know, I was influenced by my cousin, Ted, who was going to be a lawyer, and I didn't want to be a doctor, and I wanted to be a professional. So I figured law might be the way to go for me. So I went from the ninth grade, I decided I wanted to be a lawyer. And I pursued that right through high school and college.
Okay. You get a law degree from Wayne State University and a Master of Law from New York University. How and why a trust and estate lawyer?
You know, I think, you know, when I went to NYU, I was interested in tax and business. But then the first job that I, you know, was interviewed, you know, from a law firm, Bassey, Selesko, Cousins & Murphy in Southfield, Michigan at the time. And I was interested in this firm. And they were a business and tax firm, but they also were probably the dominant estate planning firm in town. And I realized I like estate planning better than I did tax and business.
Yeah. Henny Youngman, you know, the king of the one-liners.
Sure.
He said, I was in Southfield a while, and I needed some law work. I looked in the phone book, Schwartz, 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 and Schwartz. I call him. I says, is Schwartz there? No, yeah. Old man Schwartz never works on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked on Tuesday for 30 years. Is Schwartz there? No, he's on a big case in Vegas.
Yeah.
Is Schwartz there? No, he's sick. He had hernia. He's been out for a year. Is Schwartz there? Speaking. Julius.
Got it. I've heard that before.
How is it these law firms? Who gets to decide who has the names in these law firms?
You know, who knows? I mean, when I was only at at my first law firm for less than a year and a half. And then I wanted to start my own practice. And then eventually we merged with another firm. And you know, I don't know how it is. I guess because I'm the oldest guy there, perhaps. That might have something to do with it, you know.
You got your first client in 1976. That's 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Who was it?
You know, it was Gary Ronselli, the Ronselli Construction Company. My only qualification to get that client was I was Italian. And his father-in-law was Gino Paliroli, who was an accountant that knew me. And that was my first case, my very first client. I got on my own.
And now his son, Gino Ronselli, runs Ronselli. He and his wife are having their first child, a daughter, in August.
Yeah.
So, okay. Gianmarco Mullins and Horton has been helping clients since 1983. Who's the Mullins and the Horton?
Well, those are my partners. Tim Mullins runs our insurance defense group, and Bill Horton runs our business practice group. He's a commercial litigator. I've been very fortunate to have both of those guys in my life, and we've put together a pretty nice operation over there.
What services does the firm offer?
Well, we have a family law group that handles, you know, marital issues, prenuptial agreements. We have a commercial litigation group. We have a municipal law group. We have the estate planning group. So we have, you know, a lot of different things going on over there. And it's been a nice ride for me to be with these guys.
Julius and I go way back. He's very humble. He's very protective of his clients. But you throw out a name, and it's, oh, he's a client. Oh, she's a client. When he dies on his tombstone, Julius, 1952 to whatever, it's going to say, oh, he's a client. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything That's Possible. I'm Jack Krasula with Julius Gianmarco. If you want to learn more, www.gmhlaw.com. gmhlaw.com. If you want to become a client, www.gmhlaw.com. Formed in 1983, Gianmarco Mullins and Horton is the 12th largest law firm in Michigan, with 60 attorneys offering its clients a diverse range of capabilities and specialties. And you, Julius, are the chair of Trusts and Estates Practice Group. Today, 50 years later, 38,000 clients, 10 attorneys, 8 secretaries, and 1 personal assistant. Talk about your team.
Well, there's really 11 attorneys now since I talked to you last, besides myself. So we have 12 trust and estates practice attorneys, and all but maybe 3 of them that I think. Now, a lot of them are with me right from the very beginning. You know, my oldest son, John, and his best friend since kindergarten, Ryan McNeil, they've been there, you know, for a long time. So I'm very fortunate. The group that we put together, they're the nicest, smartest people around. I have 3 secretaries, Jennifer Wilson, Tracy Swanson, and Sam Orzel, who take care of me all day long. And we have an administrative assistant, Carrie Rainey, who kind of takes care of our group. And so it's been a nice ride, and it's been a lot of fun. And you know, I never thought, I'm 76 years old now, I've turned 76 in May, that I would have 30 to 35 people waiting a month for an appointment. I would think at some point people would get tired of me, but that's not the case. And I have a deep bench, which is very helpful.
In your wildest dreams, what did you think it would ultimately become?
I had no idea. I mean, you know, I never thought I would have, you know, 11 attorneys on my team. I never thought that it was possible, that you'd have 12 people just doing estate plans. But, you know, we have some guys that do the post-death administration. Some guys are litigators. Some do, you know, the real estate part of the estate planning practice. So you need a lot of people. It takes a village. So, you know, one of my first guys that had been with me forever, Sal Amendola, he handles all of our charitable planning, all of our complicated projects. Bob Bryant is runs our post-death administration. He's got 3 or 4 attorneys working just with him. Mike Taylor, who's the mayor of Sterling Heights, is our litigator. And then I mentioned before, John, my son John, his best friend Ryan, they work with me on the wealth transfer planning side. I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody, but you know, it's been a good, nice group of sound people that I just love being with.
Julius, who needs a will? Who needs a trust?
Well, you know, we're kind of designed to help people avoid estate taxes. So, you know, most people that we're working with have taxable estates or have large estates, and they want to stay out of probate court. You know, we always say that probate's a lawsuit that you file against yourself and then lose. And the best way to avoid probate is to have everything entitled in trust. Trusts do not go through probate. Trusts also help people to, you know, minimize the federal estate tax. You know, right now, the estate and gift tax exemption is $30 million for a married couple. 0.1% of the country pays estate taxes, but, you know, that number could change easily. The Democrats just last month proposed a tax increase by reducing the exemption from $15 million per person to $3.5 million. Increasing the top rate from 40% to 45%, and then use that money for the Social Security system. So, depending on who wins the next presidential election, things could change dramatically. So right now we're out there to, you know, I always tell people, my job is to keep you out of Crane's magazine, right? No probate, no public record, minimize or eliminate the federal estate tax, make sure that what you have goes to who you want, when you want, and how you want, and at the same time, protect your children and their descendants from their inability, their disability, their creditors, and their predators, including ex-spouses.
All right, you've told me, Jack, there's 3 places to leave your money.
Yeah, we always tell our clients, you got 3 places. You can leave it to your children, you can leave it to charity, or you can leave it to the IRS, and you've got to pick 2 out of the 3.
Or your spouse, too.
Well, that's
children's
family,
spouse, huh?
Right, yeah.
Okay. In addition to being a world-class trust and estate tax attorney, Julius is a psychologist, a counselor, a negotiator, a confidant to each and every client. Talk about that aspect of the job.
Well, you know, it is true. You know, when you're sitting down, you know, I always say next to medicine, you know, next to your health, probably your money is the most important thing. And a lot of people, you know, confide in us and what their ambitions are, what their goals are. And a lot of times, you know, people have conflict with their kids, with their spouses about money, how the money's going to be used, how it's going to be spent. And, you know, when we learn things about our clients that I'm not sure that nobody else would know, because in large part, probably they don't want to go see a psychiatrist. They rather, you know, discuss it with their attorney. And but, you know, fortunately, most of our clients have good situations, happy families. They're close to their kids. Their kids are nice people. But I always joke, if I ever retire, I'm going to stay there till they fire me. I don't want to retire, but I'm going to write a book on how not to get disinherited. It always amazes to me how many kids manage to alienate themselves from their, you know, their families and get disinherited, which always makes me sad, you know, disinherit a child. And we end up doing it more often than I would prefer.
You deal with a lot of entrepreneurs. Talk about entrepreneurs.
You know, that's true. Most of our clients are business owners or you know, high net worth individuals, and I'm always impressed at how they got to where they got. You know, it's always like, a lot of times it's just being at the right place at the right time, but more often than not, it's just they put in the time, they put in the effort. I mean, look at myself. I mean, I wasn't home every day at 4:30 to have dinner with my 2 boys, John and Mickey, and they were lucky they had my wife, Suzanne, to raise them. But, you know, I never missed the baseball game, never missed the football game, you know, and you know, I think I have a good relationship with both of my sons to this day, and their wives are, I got real lucky. John's married to Sarah, and Mickey's married to Carly, and I, quite frankly, I like my daughter-in-law almost probably better than I like my sons. They're nicer to us.
All right. Yeah. Entrepreneurs believe that success is a journey, not a destination. Why?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody does anything to create something, right? I think you just get into something, and then it turns into something that maybe you never thought it was going to turn into, right? I don't know how many people, you go into, you know, construction. You know, do you think you're going to become the biggest construction company in the world or in the state? No, but you're doing it because that's what you want to do. You're interested in that type of business, and then obviously if you're good at it, you do become one of the biggest in town, right? But, you know, for every construction company that's doing great, there's going to be 200 of them that are just getting by, you know. So
Bill Gates
sure
once told me, Jack, if the truth be known, anybody who's become successful has become successful in spite of themselves. Jack, it's just one mistake after another. The first mistake, $500. Yeah. Then to get a little better, 5,000. It's just more zeros behind the mistakes. Hopefully you're not making the same ones. But talk about the persistence, the can-do attitude, the never giving up.
And I think that's what all great entrepreneurs eventually do, right? They put the effort in. They sacrifice the time that they could have with their families, whatever else they're doing, because it takes effort. You know, nobody hands you a successful operation. It's something you have to create. But the other thing, too, is you got to have the right people around you. You know, I wouldn't. If you know, if I had to do this by myself, I'd retire before I did this by myself. There are certain parts of the practice I don't like doing. I don't like post-death administration, for example. If I had to do that, I'd be gone. But I'm lucky that we can provide all these services because we have 11 other estate planning attorneys to help.
We're talking to Julius Giammarco. He is a confidant 4 or 5 times a day to millionaires, billionaires, world class. And he has 2 tattoos on his left wrist. When we come back, we're going to ask him what those tattoos are. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Julius Giammarco, a confidant to millionaires and billionaires, and 2 tattoos on the left wrist. Julius, what are they?
Well, you know, my wife Suzanne and I got married when we were 25, but we were 36 and 40 when she got pregnant. It took us forever. We tried multiple things. We tried to adopt. We just couldn't get it done, And at the time, my wife was working at Kmart. She had at the headquarters, and she was always said, "I'm going to quit work when I get pregnant." And then it looked like it wasn't going to happen. She just quit work, and like a year later, she got pregnant with our oldest son, John, who is now working with me, and our younger son, 4 years later, Mickey. And I, even though I'm Italian, I wanted a daughter. You know, I love my boys, but I wanted a daughter, and then John and his wife, Sarah, have this little girl, Isabel. She was born on October 15th, 2019, just before the COVID. And I was so excited to have a granddaughter that I go down. I think I'm 69 years old. She's born on a Wednesday. A couple of weeks later, I'm in downtown Ferndale getting my first tattoo. I don't tell anybody. They all thought I was crazy when I came home. Even my sons thought it was nuts, but that's how excited I was, you know.
And 7 years later, Izzy is the joy of friends, I've never met a man that's more gaga over a granddaughter than Julius.
Yeah,
okay.
I do. She's my angel.
Share with us the closet that she has in Suzanne in your home when she comes over.
Yeah, you know, It's funny, when she was born, I wanted her to live with us. I really did. I told Suzanne, I said, why don't you see if Johnny and Sarah want to live with us? We get a bigger house and we could help raise her. And she said, you didn't want to raise your own kids. I said, well, yeah, this one I want to raise. But she spends a lot of time with us. And we've been fortunate that spends quite a few weekends with us. If you came to my house, you think I had a six-year-old girl for that one night a week, you know, the room all dressed up for a little girl, pink bed. But she's our... You know, she loves, you know, she's
okay,
she's
when a, she comes over,
yeah,
you take her to the beauty parlor.
No, you know, we go get her nails done every once in a while.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, yeah, she's very, you know, I'm fortunate in that she's all girl. You know, she wants to dress up all the time, and we can't even pick out outfits for her anymore. She's got to pick out her own stuff, and you know, picking out shoes. We go to the park. It takes us 20 minutes to pick out shoes. But it's what I love. You know, and both of my sons will, you know, badger me about the double standard, how I treated them versus her. And I always say, you guys are right. I could have been a better father. I'm sorry. You're both doing fine. Leave me alone.
You love Detroit sports. You take Izzy to a Tigers game.
Right.
What happens?
I take her every year. We go to a game with her other grandfather and her dad or her mom. So it's like a traditional thing. And, you know, we got to do the most important thing is take a picture with Paws. That's her favorite thing. Then, of course, the, you know, merry-go-round in the Ferris wheel. And then some Dippin' Dots or, you know, whatever. And then probably by the fourth inning, she's bored out of her mind. We never last for the whole game.
Okay. Now there's a second tattoo on that left wrist.
Vincenzo, who just turned 2 months this week, my younger son, his little boy. And I used the Godfather font for Vincenzo's. so it looks like the Godfather poster. And yeah, so now I have a grandson to go along with my granddaughter. I spent 2 hours yesterday just holding and kissing him. I was built to be a grandfather. Nothing better for me than being with my grandkids.
Okay, let's go back to your profession.
Yeah.
Sheikh Rashid, the founder of Dubai, said this, my grandfather drove a camel. My father drove a camel. I drove a Mercedes. My son drove a Land Rover. And my grandson will drive a Land Rover. But my great-grandson will drive a camel. Why is that? Because hard times create strong people. Strong people create easy times. Easy times create weak people. Weak people create hard times. Many won't understand, but you have to raise warriors, not parasites. Talk about generational wealth, Julius.
Right. You know, most of my high net worth clients are concerned about leaving so much to their children that it becomes a negative factor. You know, I think Warren Buffett had the greatest quote when they asked him what he was going to do with his estate, and he said, I'm going to leave my kids enough money so they can do anything, but not so much money so they can do nothing. And that's a different number for a lot of people. But we have, you know, a fair number of clients that pick a number that they think is appropriate for their kids and grandkids, and then basically possibly leave the balance to charity to zero out the estate tax. But they're to minority. Most of my clients want to deliver as much wealth as possible to their kids and hope that they are good stewards with it.
All right. You create an estate, okay? Living trust, irrevocable trust. It's 150 pages, 200 pages. But the couple comes in when it's all done and you have a big TV screen. And you put on one or two screens, here's basically what it says. If you die first, this happens. If you die, boom.
Yeah.
You 150 pages,
right.
And you lay it out on one or two screens. Your desk is spotless. Okay? Now, there's pictures of Izzy behind the desk. Okay.
Izzy and Vinny.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you make it? It's so complex, but you make it so simple.
Well, you know, I always tell our clients, you know, you're right. There's 300 pages involved in a basic estate plan: wills, living trusts, general powers of attorney, patient advocate designations. Those are your four core documents. I always tell my clients, we get started off from the beginning. 90% of this we're never going to use. But I don't know who's going to die first. Are you going to die in your sleep? Are you going to die after prolonged illness or incapacity? Are your children going to survive you? Are they going to predecease you? Are you going to have grandchildren? We even cover the possibility of kidnapping and disappearance, you know. But I focus on the obvious things, who gets what, when, and how, and who the players are. And we use charts and flow charts. Makes it a lot easier for them. Nobody's going to read, you know, 500 pages. I understand that, you know. They got to kind of trust us that we know what we're doing.
If you want to learn more or become a client, gmhlaw.com. We're with Julius Giammarco, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJI.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love, stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Julius Giammarco. Since 1994, he's been the chair of Trust and Estates Practice Group with Giammarco, Mullins & Horton, PC. Julius, you're around all of this wealth, objects, issues. I've always admired, you're at peace with yourself. The Rudyard Kipling's poem, If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too. On and on and on. How is it you have this inner peace?
I don't know. You know, we have a very simple life,
yes.
My wife and I. I always say if we never left the Tri-County area again, we'd be totally satisfied. we like being at home. You know, I need my bed, my pillow, my sheets, my headphones. We have a very simple life. We hang out with our boys, with our grandkids, and we don't socialize a lot. We just like to be at home. I got to go to work every day. Otherwise, I would be bored out of my mind. But that's kind of our lifestyle. So it's
okay. Speaking of, you got to go to work every day.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Sunday, March 15th, 2026. You're riding your bike with Izzy.
Yeah.
Okay. In Birmingham. And she's behind you on her bike. What happened?
Well, you got a good memory, Jack. She yelled out behind me, and Grandpa real loud. So I turned around to see what she was doing, and I hit a curb and flew into a stop sign and broke 5 ribs. Most pain I've ever had in my life. Broke 5 ribs, yeah.
That was Sunday.
Yeah.
The next morning, Suzanne drags you to Corwell Emergency, 5 broken ribs, okay? That's Monday morning.
Right.
That same day, Julius, you're at your office by 11 a.m.
You know, I'm not being a hero. I asked the doctors, what should I do? And they said, well, you know, you want oxycodone? And I said, no, I'm afraid I might like it, so I'll just gut it out. I said, what should I do? He said, just don't lay down too long. Don't sit down too long. I might as well go to work. At least there I'm not driving my wife crazy, and I've got a bunch of people helping me, you know. So,
speaking of helping, what's your biggest achievement?
You know, it's, I would say, helping to keep a lot of people busy. You know, I look back at the 11 guys on my team, you know, especially the guys who've been with me forever. You know, they, for example, we talked about Sal Amendola. You know, he came, when he started with me, he was just married. He's got six kids now, you know. And, you know, I think when Bob Bryant first joined me, I don't know if he had any kids, he's got three daughters now. So the fact that, and there's all, you know, the other parts of the practice too that the state and trust group help out. The fact that we're keeping all these people busy, helping them raise their kids, getting them educated, is probably my most, you know, the thing I'm most proud of, you know, is doing that. It's not making money or you know, doing good estate plans. It's you know, helping out a team that we all work together.
Speaking of team,
yeah,
you love Detroit sports.
I do.
You love Detroit sports.
Especially the Lions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest Detroit athlete you've ever watched?
Barry Sanders, hands down. So he's my favorite. Yeah.
Why?
Well, just the fact that, you know, first of all, he rides off into the sunset before he was finished, which I like. But I just enjoyed watching him play. I just thought he was, you know, the greatest running back ever. And you know, he's my favorite, just flat out. Is it going to be a Lion? Is going to be my favorite because I'm a football guy, you know.
All right. You can take the kid out of Dearborn Heights, but you can't take Dearborn Heights out of the kid. You love classic rock.
I never grew up with musical tastes. I still love, my favorite groups are Motley Crue, Kiss, AC/DC. I never changed. And in fact, I was fortunate enough to see the last concert Kiss did in Detroit, AC/DC did in Detroit, Motley Crue. So, yeah. And then my sons come with me. They like it as well. So,
all right. Politicians, both elephants and donkeys, are addicted to opium. O-P-M. Other people's money. Not just Democrats.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it inevitable? Look at Mondami going after these people that have the second places,
right,
you know. In New York City, they're addicted to our money. Isn't it inevitable that they're just going to take it? Someday it's not going to be $15 million or $3 million. It's going to be from dollar one.
Yeah, go back to the $600,000 exemption quite a few years ago. But, you know, I understand the process. You need money to run the government. And the interesting part about the estate tax, I'm a firm believer of this. There's a lot of people who believe that the IRS would save money by repealing the estate tax, that they're spending more money collecting the tax than they receive because there's, at $15 million, nobody's paying taxes. If you dropped it to $3.5 million, not that many people would be paying taxes when you look at the country as a whole. But, you know, but that's not the big, you know, the estate tax is, they couldn't run the government on an afternoon on the estate tax. It's the income tax that makes the country run.
Somebody once told me, Jack, you are a peach in an apple orchard. I said, if a peach is good, I'm a peach. Okay, you're a peach in an apple orchard, and I admire that about you. So that was kind of unique thinking. You're kind of famous for giving Izzy some unique thinking, too.
Yeah, I always tease her with this, and I always say, when she was just little, you know, I would take her to the, you know, I would walk her all the time. When she was born, my boys bought me a Bentley stroller. So I'd be walking her down, you know, Birmingham and riding around, you know, up and down the neighborhoods. And I'd stop in front of a house and I'd say, now, honey, this is where Ben Franklin grew up and where he invented electricity. And this is where Thomas Edison, you know, I'd make up all this stuff. But when she got older, I used to say, and I tell her to this day, I said, remember this, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends' noses. And then she'll go, I know that, Grandpa. I said, well, I'm going to come into your class one day and I'm going to tell them that. He said, no, don't. So.
And all these millionaires and billionaires pay thousands of dollars to Julius to give them that kind
exactly.
of advice.
It's very important.
Speaking of advice, what's the most common estate planning mistakes you see high net worth families make?
Well, I think, you know, well, first of all, you know, the most important thing is not the most important thing, but once you do the planning, you got to follow it up. You got to make sure your assets are properly titled in the name of your trust. Otherwise, they'll go through probate or they won't get distributed according to your wishes. You know, you have a 200-page trust saying what you want to happen to your assets, but they're in joint name with somebody. They're going to go to the surviving joint tenant. But the other thing, too, I think, is people, you know, aren't careful enough about what happens to the next generation. You know, they're not protecting their children and their grandchildren from, you know, like I said before, their inability, their disability, their creditors and their predators, including ex-spouses. You know, most of my clients are more fearful of their daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws than they are of estate taxes because they're worried their kids will lose the inheritance. And we can easily draft around that and protect them with trusts, that dynasty trust, as we call them, that continue in Michigan in perpetuity. You can have a trust that never ends.
You've been with a lot of families that have done a phenomenal job of keeping the net worth through generations and then others that haven't. What advice would you give?
Well, you know, the only way to reduce the estate tax, if you're in that category that has a taxable estate, is you got to make lifetime gifts. And you can't give away the tree and keep the fruit. So that's a hard deal for some people to say, you know, I realize that I need to give away this money before the law changes. I'm not comfortable doing it. All right, so then you're going to pay a tax that you might have been able to avoid. You know, if I could go back 35 years, I would set up a trust for my boys and just put Apple Computer in it and forget about it, right? So I always tell my clients, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? And the answer is 35 years ago. So the sooner you put these things into play, the more better chance you have of success, of being able to leave these assets to successive generations. Because, you know, that 40% tax, if you have to pay that every 30 years, puts a big dent in what you're able to leave for future generations. And a lot of my clients are worried that their grandkids and their great-grandkids aren't going to have the same opportunities that they have and their kids have, and they want to protect them with this wealth.
Julius Giammarco, a.k.a. Oh, he's a client. I admire you. Okay. And thousands and tens of thousands of people in the Midwest and further, you've really helped them in their future generations. So thanks for all you do. Yeah. Keep going to work every day. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohon. Believe